I was going to minister on, you know, we're in a series, Jerry Dale started last week, on how to walk and live in the supernatural. How to operate and live in the supernatural, because it's so close to the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says that in the last days, evil is going to increase. But grace is going to increase. And so it's going to bring a big division between believers and non-believers. The closer it gets to the coming of the Lord. And the signs of a believer is in Mark 16. The first one is they will cast out demons, go on through there, you know. And that's what I was going to preach on this morning, casting out demons. But we don't have near enough time to get into that subject. So we're going to hold off on that. We'll talk about that tonight. So I just thought it would be a great opportunity since we had this wonderful. I think this is the biggest baptism we've ever had, right? Don't you think this is the biggest? I don't ever remember us baptized. Maybe years ago down at the river when we had our big bus ministry. But anyway, it was just so wonderful. Baptism is such an important part of being a Christian. And since we're talking about how to walk in the supernatural, how to the world for to know that we're really a Christian. Hey, Ronnie, you're a long way from home. Good to have you. Yeah, you need to pull up and move back to Camden. This is all. what this series is about are you really, see, Dardell preached all the first part of this year on knowing you're really a Christian, knowing that you're really a Christian. And once you know that you really are a Christian, are these signs operating in your life that you really are a Christian? Because in Mark 16, did they bring that up? That's what the Bible says. These signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow those who believe. And then it said that then the disciples, once Jesus went back up, they went out and they began preaching the word. And it said that God worked with them with signs following. So the sign that you're really a Christian is the signs are following you. See, and that's walking in the supernatural, because what the supernatural is natural is what any human can do. Supernatural means that we can't do it. God has to do it for us and through us. We can't raise the dead. We can't heal the sick. We can't do all of those and cast out demons. The supernatural power of God in us does the work. We're co-laborers with him. We don't do the work. We do what he tells us to do, and he does the supernatural works. But see, that's what the Bible says, is that these signs will follow believers. So what this series is on is about, look for these signs in your life. Make sure you really are a believer and that you didn't just join the church when you were a kid and everybody told you you were saved, so you think you're saved. See? And so that's what this series is on. But today, I'm just going to talk to you a few minutes about baptism this morning, since we had this wonderful baptism. In the book of Hebrews, where it's going through the first six basic, there are 12 basic beliefs that a Christian must believe. It's called your foundation stones. And any of those 12 basic beliefs that you don't believe, even though you're saved, it's going to cause your life to rock around like a house on a broken foundation. You know, we lived in a house one time that all of the floorboards broke in the middle and everything ran forward. The refrigerator slid in, everything, because the foundation had been eaten up with those little bugs. And we didn't know it when we moved into the house. And see, that's what happens when our foundation is not right and not strong. Then when a little bug comes along and starts chewing on us, something will fall and our house will start rocking like this. And so what we want to make sure is that we believe those 12 basic truths that Jesus said make us stable. They're not what make us saved. What makes us saved is we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we ask him to forgive our sins. He comes in and washes our sins away with his blood, and we confess with our mouth that we're saved. Now, baptism doesn't save you. You understand that? There are a lot of denominations and churches that believe you have to be baptized in water to be saved. We don't believe that. We don't believe that being baptized in water saves you. We do not believe that. We believe that if you're saved, you're going to want to be baptized in water because Jesus told us to. See? Everything that we do after we get saved is what Jesus told us to. Mike, you did an awesome job. That's my handsome son-in-law over there. And of course, Donald did. And Donald does everything he does. Baptizing all those people and those two little bitty fail boys. That was so sweet. What greater thing than to baptize your own children? What greater thing in life is there? That was so sweet. But after we get saved, after we believe in our heart that Jesus has come in and washed all of our sins, and we confess with our mouth. See, there's two things you have to do to be saved. You've got to believe it in your heart. You've got to confess it with your mouth. See? And then you're saved. The blood of Jesus comes in and washes us away. We are plucked out of the kingdom of darkness, planted into the kingdom of light. We are a child of God. We are a new creation. We are born again. All those different words. We're saints. We're chosen. We're the bride. We're the church. All those different definitions of what the church is. But once that happens, then our greatest desire should be to obey Jesus. And Jesus said, be baptized in water. So that's why we get baptized in water, to obey Jesus. And the reason Jesus said to be baptized in water is because it is the outward symbol of what happened on the inside. Now, I want to go through. In Hebrews 6, it says, let's don't lay again the elementary foundations. The six foundation stones that are in Hebrews 6 are, number one is repentance. That's what happens when you confess your sins and you believe you were lost and you believe Jesus will come in and save you. You change your mind. That's what repentance means. And said, the number two is faith. You believe everything Jesus said. That's a solid foundation. Number three is baptisms. Plural. Plural is the way it says it in Hebrews 6. Baptisms. So a lot of people think that there's just one baptism when you get baptized in water. But see, Jesus, John the Baptist said, can you bring that scripture up for me there in Matthew 3:17, I believe it is, where Jesus was baptized. And John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but there's one coming after me, mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you in and. So there's two other baptisms. There's a baptism into the water, and we'll talk about what. Then there's the baptism into the Holy Ghost, and there's the baptism into fire. See? And so the baptism into water, which is what happened this morning, it's the symbol of what happened in the Spirit when you got saved. Now, water in the Bible is symbolic all through the Bible, hundreds of scriptures. I don't have time to go through them, of words. Water is the symbol of words. Fresh water in the Bible is the words of God. The river of life that flows from the throne of God is everything that God said. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So when you take the word of God and you believe the word of God and you obey the word of God, it starts flowing, turning into spirit. The Holy Spirit starts moving that living water through you. And the Bible says everything that river touches lives. The river of God that flows from the very throne of God. The Bible says in the heaven, there is this great throne. And behind it, there is a rainbow of emeralds that just flashes all the time. And the one that sits on the throne, the Bible says, is like a diamond, clear and pure and crystal. And out of that throne, and the Lamb sits on his right hand. And out of that throne flows the river of God. And that river, the Bible says, it's mingled with fire. See, that's not humanly possible. Water and fire don't mix on earth. But that river, that living river, also, the Bible says, has got fire in it. See? And we'll talk about what that baptism is in just a minute. But when you're baptized into water, see, now salt water in the Bible is the words of the devil. And it says in the book of James that fresh water and salt water can't come forth out of the same mouth. What that means is it's not supposed to, but it does. We can be speaking the word of God to some person, somebody make us mad and cuss them out in the next breath. That's what the book of James was dealing with. That can't happen. You can't be that person. You can't be talking to God. I was coming out of a store in El Dorado the other day, and this lady came and she said, you helped me so much. She said, I used to just cuss like a sailor. And you made me understand you can't do that and be a Christian. I've been there, done that. I was raised in a denomination you could cuss like a sailor if you wanted to, because you're going to don't know heaven no matter what you did. So it's okay to cuss. It's okay to drink. It's okay to sleep around. You were going to heaven. You were sealed. That's not true. I just want you to know that's not true. We'll get to that foundation stone later. But right now, salt water is the words of the devil. Fresh water are the words of God. And if we're going to really be saved and we're going to walk in the supernatural gifts, only fresh water can come out our mouth. We have to quit speaking the words of the devil. All right, so baptism in water is the symbol of being baptized in the word of God. Now, when Jesus was baptized, who baptized him? A man, a human. Now, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, John said, who would baptize us? And when we're baptized into fire, who would baptize us? Jesus. But a human being, a man, baptized them into water. So what the symbol of this is if you're going to really get baptized in water, see, those people that were baptized this morning, they obeyed Jesus, but they were symbolically showing what has to happen at the point of salvation. You, the human being, you got to go baptize yourself into the Word of God. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to get into the words of Jesus because His words are spirit and life. And you've got to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus spoke a little bit in Acts and a little bit in Revelations. But you got to look at the words. Because see, what you got to understand, nobody else gave the Word of God but Jesus. Everybody else preached it. So you don't follow Peter. You don't follow Paul. You don't follow John. You follow Jesus. They just preached about Jesus and helped us understand the words of Jesus and cleared up some problems they were having. The words of Jesus are the river of God. So what happens is the way you're going to get in that river is you got to put yourself in the Word. You got to get up every day and baptize yourself into the Word of God, the water of God. And you got to read those words and you got to be honest and say, I'm not doing that. And then you got to ask God to forgive you and start doing it to live a supernatural life. We cannot live a strong Christian supernatural life unless we are washing ourselves in that word every day. And there is a scripture that says we wash, especially husbands, you're supposed to be washing your family in the blood. The man is the spiritual head of every house. The devil can't come through the door without coming through the man. And if a man is weak and whiny and puny, the devil's going to tear his family apart. So me and you get up every day and you wash your whole family in the Word of God. And you make sure everybody in your family is washing themselves in the Word of God. Because you have to do it yourself. You can wash your children and you can wash your wife, but the day will come, they have to wash themselves. They have to get in the river themselves. You can tell your wife and your children, men, all day long what the Word says, but you can't make them do it. Only they can make themselves do it. So everybody is responsible to baptize themselves into the Word of God. The word baptize means become one with. It means to dip something into something until it becomes that. Like money comes from the word baptized in the Bible, where they would dip clay or bad metal into gold or silver and it would become gold or silver money. They'd dip it in there until it became the color of what they were dipping it in, and then it was that money. Well, see, when we baptize ourselves in the word every way, we become the word. When we dip ourselves in that word day after day, we take on the color and the beauty and the power of that word. It says in Romans 1 that the word of God is the power of God. You understand that? The word of God is the power of God. We all want God to do things for us, but we're not willing to do what it takes to get that power operating in our life. See? Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you do greatly err and you don't have the power of God because you're in error in what you believe. See, the Word of God gives us the power of God. So every day we baptize ourselves in the Word. Every day we dip ourselves into that water so that when we come out, we look like it. Dip ourselves in until we come out and look like it. Every day we live, it will not stop as long as we live because we will never be completely transformed until we leave this earth. We're working on it, but we won't get there till we leave this earth. So that's baptism in water. Now, there's a lot of people that are not baptized in water. They call themselves saved, but they're not baptized in water. Well, you can be saved and not be baptized in water, but you're not obedient. Do you know where all the blessings of God come from in this life? Obedience. Every time you obey the word of God, you get another level of obedience. I mean, blessing. The more blessed you are depends on how obedient you are to the words of Jesus. So if you don't want to be baptized in water, then what you're basically saying is, I don't really want that blessing. See? We don't, none of us aren't like that, are we? We want everything we can get. Give me, God, everything you got. Because we want to walk in the supernatural and we want these signs to follow us that are the signs of a believer. All right, let's talk about the second baptism. The second baptism is the baptism into the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody knows just about, if you go to this church, that being baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, when you get saved and Jesus moves into you, then the Spirit of God moves into you because Jesus is a Spirit. But there is a much more infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, every person is made up of three parts, except Christians, and they have four parts. There is your body. There is your spirit, which the Bible refers to as your heart. And then there's the soul, which is your mind. See? And so, all three of those parts have to become one with God. Your body has to become one. Your spirit has to become one. Your soul has to become one. All right, when you got saved and God moved into you, He moved into your spirit. And the Bible says He created a new creation inside of you. That's why a Christian has four body parts. Four parts. And a lost person only has three. Because He didn't just move into your spirit and take over your spirit. He created something new. He created inside of you, you and God becoming one together. A new creation. It's so hard to explain with words. But what will happen is, if your spirit does not become one with that new created spirit. See, the Bible says that's why old things pass away and all things become new. Jesus said, out of your heart or your spirit comes lying. Anybody ever lied after they got saved? Murder, adultery, all that evil stuff comes out of your spirit. Not out of your soul or your body, your spirit. So if you get saved and you continue to let your spirit do things that Jesus said they can't do, then your spirit never becomes one with that new creation that is inside of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says the heart, the spirit of man is evil above all things. When Jesus comes in, that your spirit, the thing that makes you, you. See, I heard a preacher preach one time. And he said, when I got saved, Jesus moved inside of me and I went to heaven. So you're not looking at me, you're looking at Jesus. That's not true. That's error. What He did, He came into our spirit and created a new creation. That is, who I created. God created me with my gifts and my personalities and my specialness that He wanted me to be. And He came and moved inside of the spirit and made a new creation. Now that old spirit, that old evil person that I was, has to become one with that new creation and die. The old part has to die. Now the Bible says your soul don't get saved. It has to be made new with the Word of God. So your soul is your mind and your thinking. See, when you got saved, it didn't affect your soul. You got to go to the Word of God and your soul has to be made new and think like God. It's called the mind of Christ. It's called the helmet of salvation. It has a lot of names, but what it is everything about how you think, all your thoughts have to change and think like God. Have the mind of Christ. Then your soul is renewed and it's one with God. Then you've got to bring your body in line. Remember when Paul said, I beat my body? Because man, our body would rather sin than our heart or our soul. Our body's what wants to take drugs. Our body's what wants to drink alcohol. Our body is what wants to slap somebody. This body can be a real walking around demon if we don't keep it under control. So, for us to get this body saved, and it won't be saved until it actually is changed and when we go into heaven. But to keep it one with God, We have to go to the life of Jesus, and we got to be just like Jesus. You don't see Jesus cussing. You don't see Jesus lying. You don't see Jesus beating people up. You don't see, and if Jesus didn't do it, we're not going to do it. If we're going to be one, body, soul, and spirit. Was Jesus' body ever sick? How did he keep his body one with God? Because see, he was completely human and completely God. Do you realize that's what's in your spirit right now? A completely human spirit turned into a completely God new man. Jesus is inside of us. So how did Jesus keep his body from sinning while he was completely human and completely God? How did he do it? How did he keep his body healed? He knew how to cast out demons. That's what we're going to preach on tonight. He knew how to tell the devil, you're not going to put that on me. Jesus didn't have to have people pray for him when he was sick. Why? He knew how to pray for himself. He knew how to keep spirits of infirmity from taking over his body. That's what we're going to preach on tonight. We'll bring that up later. So for us to become one with God, body, soul, and spirit, the way that we become one with God the Father, there's three parts of God: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And while we're on the subject of baptism, you know, churches fight over who do you baptize in, the name of Jesus or the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, man, they'll fight you over that in a heartbeat. Me and Jerry went and ate at McDonald's one time. There was a guy sitting there by us, and he struck up a conversation. And when he found out that we were Christians, he said, whose name were you baptized in? That was his first question. And we said, we didn't want to argue with him because we knew what denomination he was of. And he wouldn't let it go. He would not let it go. He's going to argue, argue, argue. And see, that is not God. So what does the Bible tell you to be baptized in? And Jesus. So we do both. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus. So we do what the Bible says. Because that's what the Bible says. You can find scriptures where they were baptized in the name of Jesus. You can find scriptures where they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So you do both. You're covered in the Bible. And the Bible's all that matters. It don't matter what anybody else says or thinks. The Word of God is all that's true. So getting back on, I got to hurry. We only got a couple of minutes. To baptize, to really be baptized in water, God the Father is the one who gave the Word. Jesus became the living Word. The Bible says that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see my Father do. I don't speak any words that are mine. They're all from the Father. The Word came from God the Father. So to be baptized in God the Father, you've got to be baptized in the Word. You've got to put yourself in that Word every day. You've got to know that Word. You start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where you start. And you don't just know it, you got to do it. If you're not doing it, you don't know it. James said in the book of James, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. My faith is, if the Bible says do it, I do it. They were saying that they were Christians, but they weren't doing what the Word said. That's called, I won't say that. But you don't be like that. If you call yourself a Christian, you do what the Bible says Christians do. You do what Jesus did. All right, the second baptism is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Who baptizes in the Holy Spirit? Jesus. So once you get saved and you ask him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, that is a different indwelling than salvation. Do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved? No. It's only two things you've got to do to be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. There are many people, probably as many people that will go to heaven without being baptized in the Holy Spirit as there are that will. But here's the thing. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is our second greatest gift besides salvation. Jesus said, see, when he went back to heaven and he was looking at all the people, he said, don't do anything. He said, I want you to go preach the gospel. He said, I want you to cast out demons, take up serpents, heal the sick. I ain't got them in the right order, but all this. He said, but first, go and wait until you're gifted, endued with the Holy Spirit. So only 120 out of the 500 went and waited till the Holy Spirit came. Well, when the Holy Spirit came in that upper room and the little tongues of fire sat on them and they all began to pray in other tongues, the Bible calls it the tongues of men and angels. So it's all different languages, plus it's also the language of heaven. Then they got up and went tearing out of there with the power of God. And 3,000 people got saved that day. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And so if you don't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, what you're saying is, I don't want the power of God. I'm happy like I am. You're just losing another blessing. If you don't want to be baptized in the Word, you're losing all the blessings of obeying the Word. If you don't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're losing all the power that could operate through you as a supernatural that we're supposed to have following us. All right, I'd love to stay there a long time, but I got to move on. There's one more baptism. It's called the baptism of fire. Andy, would you look that scripture up for me really fast? Where'd Andy go? It's the one where we're baptized into Jesus. The one where it's somewhere in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. I got my iPad here if you want to use it. Look it up. But it says we are baptized into Christ. The life of Jesus is the life of fire. Jesus told his disciples over and over. In one place it's called being baptized into the body of Christ, who is Jesus. And over, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. The devil is going to put a target on your back the minute you get saved. And he's going to pursue you with hatred every day you live for God. Now, lots of young Christians don't know that. And so they get saved and their life in the natural falls apart. And they say, man, I was better off before I got saved. See, being baptized into the body of Christ, into Jesus, is fire. Fiery trials every day because the devil hates us so much. It's like, you know, in the military, the elite members of the military that are like Navy SEALs and things like that, you know. If you really want to do a lot of damage to the military, you take out their elite. Their snipers and their secret forces and all that, because they're the ones who go in unseen and unheard and prepare the work for everybody else to come in. Well, see, when you get saved, you become a Navy SEAL. You become special forces to God. And you're going to go into this world and you're going to take out the devil's territory. You're going to snatch people out of hell. You're going to open people's eyes to things. And so the devil is going to target you with the same hatred he targeted Jesus. And if you can't handle that, you'll never be baptized in fire. You'll run and hide all the time like a deserter and a coward. See, living for God is not for cowards. And it's not for wimps. Because every battle in your life is brought on by the enemy. And if you're scared of the devil, you're going to run all your life. You're just going to tuck your tail like a dog and run. Every time the devil hollers, boo. You can get to heaven like that, but it's a miserable way to live. It is a miserable way to live. Because, see, Jesus already gave us all power over all the enemy. And all we have to do is stand our ground and say, devil, you're not doing this to me. I don't care if everybody in this building hates me. You love me. I don't care if everybody in my family hates me. You love me. I don't care what they say about me at work, as long as it's not true. And how many martyrs have laid down their lives that I don't care if they kill me? See, so to be baptized in fire, you have to be baptized into the life of Jesus. You study the life of Jesus. He had a few friends. First, he had his 12 disciples, and then he got big crowds following him because of all the miracles. And in John 6, when they came to him and wanted him to feed them, he said, you're only following me for what you're getting from me. He said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they got offended and every one of them left. So he turns to his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And we already knew one of them was a devil. So he had 11 people that day that stood with him when there was like 5,000 before that he fed. And that's pretty much going to be your life as a Christian. The Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Woe unto you. That means you're on their side. If they're not talking about you, if they're not hating you, if they're not trying to sabotage you at work, you're not really living for God. You're a hiding Christian. You don't want anybody to know you're a Christian, so you won't get shot at. See? So that third baptism is being baptized into the life of Jesus, which is a life of extreme warfare. But the promise of God is he's already given us power over everything the devil's going to give to us. What the problem with most Christians is they don't know how to access that power. See? They don't know how to access the power that Jesus lived. Supernatural power. See? And so that's the reason we're on this series, how to live a supernatural life. So number one, you got to get up every day and baptize yourself in the Word. Nobody can do it for you. It is totally your responsibility. And when you get to heaven and Jesus asks you why, you can't blame it on anybody. You're going to have to say, I was just lazy. And I loved other things more than I loved you, Jesus. See? All right. And then you got to baptize yourself into the Holy Spirit. Jesus will baptize you, but you got to ask and want it. You got to believe in it. You got to want it. And you got to ask. And then the third thing, you got to baptize yourself into the body and the life of Jesus. You know why so many people that don't go to church, you know why they don't go to church? If you go and ask them, you know what they'll say? Oh, somebody made me mad. Somebody offended me. Isn't that true? They're not baptized into the body of Christ. I'd like to see somebody keep me from going to church. I'd like to see somebody tell me I can't go to church. I'd like to see somebody try to make me mad enough to quit this church. Because I am baptized into the body. I'm one with you. I'm one with you. You are the body of Christ. We're one. I'm going to fight for you when you need fighting for. I'm going to pray for you when you need prayer. I'm going to believe for you. See, the true body of Christ, there's only two things that you know about. Number one, they love God with all their heart. And number two, they love people. That's the two great commandments. Everything else fits that. When you don't love the body of Christ, you are not baptized in the body of Christ. When you do not love the body of Christ, you are not baptized into, you are not one with the body of Christ. So we just determined, right, church? We're going to baptize ourselves in the water every day. We're going to be part of that living river that flows from the throne, and everything it touches lives. We're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to operate in the spiritual gifts. We're going to operate in the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, healing. George Gorman and Donald McCray have two of the greatest gifts of healing in this church. And every time I need heal, I go and have them lay hands on me. And we could be here all day and I could tell you all the times that God has healed me when they laid hands on and prayed for me. They can't have faith for me. I have to join my faith with their faith. Bible says if two or more agree as touching anything that the Lord, that God says, then it will be done. You got to join your faith with people that have great faith and have giftings in that area. See, you don't get that outside the church. That's part of the church. And then we're going to baptize ourselves into the church. Now, the Sunday morning crowd at Victory here is usually around 500. You know how much the Sunday night crowd is? Now you're going to really get mad at me. You know how much Wednesday night crowd is? Not even half that. You know what that tells me? Half of this group this morning is baptized into the body. And the rest of you may be saved, but you're missing all the blessings of being one with the body of Christ. See? I'm not saying you're not saved and won't go to heaven. I'm just saying you're not getting the blessings of becoming one with the body. I can't imagine not being one with the body. Jardell and I have went through life and death battles. And we would call the church and they would pray. And God answered every time. This time ago last year when Jeremy was laying in ICU and they weren't giving him any chance to live. They told us he may not come out of the coma. The church prayed and interceded. And he just had a brand new baby this week, perfectly healthy. Now, last spring, when the enemy came to kill Jennifer, this church stood and prayed. And Cricket and Jennifer are back together and stronger than they've ever been. And it was the church praying. But see, when you're, let's say you just come on Sunday morning and then your life hits a life and death situation and you call and ask people to pray. You know what people say? Who is that? Who is that? Try to describe them to me. Where do they sit? Do you think people are going to get down on their knees and really pray and intercede for you day and night when they don't even know who you are? No. They're going to pray and intercede day and night for the people they love. That is a part of you. So if you're not baptized in water, you get baptized in water. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, get baptized. If you're not baptized into the body, you baptize yourself into the body of Christ. Get in the body of Christ and become one with us. Hallelujah. Was that too hard this morning? Some people love what I say. Some people hate what I say. I just kind of have to figure out. Lord, we just want to thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. Every good and every perfect thing in our life came from you, Lord. And every evil thing that comes against us, you've already promised us that we would win. Because you said we always triumph in Christ Jesus who gives us the victory. Lord, we just have nothing to complain about. Nothing to be sad about. Everything in our life is wonderful just because of you, Jesus. Lord, we could thank you forever and ever and ever. And it would never be enough. Never. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, I ask this morning, you would convict hearts of people. If they've not been baptized, if they're not getting up every day and baptizing themselves in your word, the word of your word, you convict their heart, Lord. Make them miserable until they do it. Lord, if they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, convict them that they need the power of God to walk in the supernatural. Lord, if they're not baptized into your body, if they just come hit or miss, God, convict them that they're missing all the blessings of being one with your body where you are the head. And they're missing the greatest friendships and loyalties and love that they will ever have in this life on earth with this body of Christ. Lord, I ask. And Father, you said, whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I would receive. So God, I believe that your Holy Spirit is going into the hearts of everyone here, myself included, convicting us all of the areas that we need to move forward in so we can be supernatural people who walk in the supernatural power, and the signs will follow us, and you will confirm it with signs following. In Jesus' name, thank you.